This is going to be kind of a follow-up sermon to Pastor Joyce's sermon last week. So last week, Pastor Joyce spoke about change and getting one more chance so we could produce good fruit as intended, just like the fig tree. And Jesus told a parable about the fig tree and how the fig tree was not producing. And so the farmer's like, cut it down. But the gardener's like, or the owner was like, cut it down. But the gardener's like, no, let me give it special attention. Let me get it some fertilizer and give it one more year. And that was related to us. How maybe we just need a little bit of special attention. Maybe we just need a little bit more fertilizer. And we need one more year, one more chance. Here at Christ the Cornerstone, we talk a lot about changing. And it's literally in our mission statement, spiritual enrichment and growth. I wanted to make something clear, because we talk about it a lot. When we talk about changing, we're not speaking about who we are. I want to make one thing clear. Each and every person is wonderfully and beautifully created by God. We are all unique and awesome. But we could all use some improvement, right? When we talk about change and we talk about transformation and we talk about being your genuine self, we're talking about who and what you represent. We talk about continuously maturing and blossoming into the best version of yourself by growing in Christ. I just want to make that clear because we talk about change, and with this world, a lot of times, you don't look like that, you should look like this. You don't act like that, you should act like this, right? And we get messages through in this world that constantly tell us we're not good enough because we're not like X person. And you know why? Because we're not X person. We're the rest of the alphabet, right? But to be your true, genuine self, we need to grow in Christ, because Christ is who tells us who we are. Christ is who can reaffirm our worth. So it's about maturing and blossoming into the best version of yourself. That's what spiritual enrichment and growth means. That's what we mean by change. And we haven't covered that in a while, and I just wanted to make sure that was out there. Sometimes it may seem like it is easy to change. Like when we talk about change, it's like, oh, just change, just modify a behavior. Just think differently. It makes it sound like it's kind of easy. But it's not always easy. Most of the time, it's not, right? If you're going to change a behavior, it's not like flipping a switch and saying, I want to change the lights and we're going to put lights on in here, right? It takes time, and it typically takes longer than what we want. And then that's when we get frustrated and the diet goes out the window. Or speaking nicer, it's like, what, I can't, I'm done. I'm going to tell myself I wasn't going to, so I'm coming off the cuff here, but God told me I need to tell this story because it's kind of funny because it happened this morning. So I've just, what we're going to talk about today is transformation, which is a longer process of change, but we're going to tie it to temptation because these are the challenges we have, right? So I decided this year that I'm going to work on my hydration. And I looked into it, but I got it from Reese Witherspoon. I have no idea how I even stumbled across it, but she drinks a glass of water in the morning when she first wakes up. And I looked into that, and I was like, she's like, it helps with your health, because you think about it, you're laying in bed for 8 or so hours, you're not drinking, you're literally dehydrated when you wake up in the morning. And so when you drink a glass of water, it hydrates all your organs and get you going. I am an avid coffee drinker. I love coffee, and I will drink coffee all day long, and I will forget water. If I have the two things in front of me, I'm going to go for the coffee every single time. And we have this cool pot that I could set the timer. So I set it like 15 minutes before we're going to get up, so we can just stumble to the kitchen and fill our cup of coffee, and it's all ready. And you wake up and you got the smell of coffee in the house. Oh, man, temptation. We even set ourselves up. I probably honestly have been about 50-50 since the beginning of the year on drinking water, a cup of water before I drink my cup of coffee. Here's when I'm successful, when I change the way I think about it. If I get up and it's a workout day, I have a higher chance of drinking that glass of water before I drink that coffee because I'm thinking about my health, I'm thinking about hydration, and I'm going to get on the elliptical machine and I'm going to be sweating and I'm going to need that hydration. And then there's no problem. I don't even get tempted by the coffee. I go straight to drinking my water. If I get up and I'm a little, I got to work out, but I'm not really into it that day, and I'm thinking more about how groggy I am and how I need a pick-me-up, guess where I'm headed? The coffee pot, right? It's what am I thinking about is where my actions lead me. It either leads me to my water bottle, which, by the way, I also pre-fill, so I don't even have to think about the morning. I can just grab the thing and drink, and it's so hard. It's worse, guys. It's right next to my bed. It's like within an arm's reach. The coffee, all the way in the kitchen. Human nature, it's awesome, right? Man, but here my water is literally right here. I don't even have to get up. I just need to do this and maybe this, and I can drink 8 ounces of water. But instead, I end up getting out, walking to the coffee, pouring that cup, and being like, and I got to go all the way back to the room to grab my glass of water. Temptation is difficult. Modifying behaviors takes time. And we're now February 19th. So I'm like 45, 50 days in. I'm still working on it. It's a transformation, but it's how I think. And if we go back to Romans 12, that's my success in the morning, is how I begin thinking. Do I need hydration or do I need caffeine? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. It's letting God transform the way we think. It's allowing ourselves to do something different, starting with our heads and our hearts, because our mind follows our hearts. And I will tell you, I got up this morning, and I was going to work on tightening up this sermon. I wasn't going to get on the elliptical. I got the coffee first. I took a sip, and I went back to the bedroom and then had to go get my water. Then when it got to a certain point, then I could drink, and I was like, oh, man, how fitting, right? We're going to talk about temptation this morning, and by temptation, I gave into it just for a sip. Sometimes it's the whole cup, guys, if I'm going to be honest. It's the whole cup, and I'm like, oh, now I got to drink water. Man, it's hard. So let's back up a second. I want to talk about transformation. So from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, First, we got to do transform before you go to transformation, because transformation, the dictionary, it uses transform. So let's back up to transform. It means to change in composition or structure, or to change the outward form or appearance of, or three, to change in character or condition. Does any of those sound like you flip a switch on the light switch? No. So transformation is an act, a process or instance of transforming or being transformed. It's a process. So one, human nature, typically we push back by change. And now we're asking you to go through a whole process of change for true transformation, where your heart changes and aligns more with God, so your brain follows and then your actions will follow. It's a whole process. And you're trying to talk about modifying a behavior and how you think. Think about how difficult it is for me to drink 8 ounces of water before I start my day. That seems like something minor, but that's how ingrained we are in habit. how ingrained we are in habit. So today we're going to talk about the challenge of allowing God to transform us, temptation. Jesus was tempted directly by the devil right after he was baptized and right before he officially began his ministry. So if Jesus was tempted, we're tempted, right? So we're going to dive into what we can learn from Jesus, because we need to figure out how to combat temptation. We need to figure out tools that we can have in our toolkit, right? Put the water next to the table. Change your mind in the morning on how you think. I'm going to drink water, then you can have your coffee. Even play the game if you want and give yourself a reward. If I drink this water, I get coffee, right? Like, it's got to be, you have to change it because there's temptations. And we're going to learn more about how Jesus tells us to combat temptation, because it's way better than me trying to figure out how to drink water before coffee. So in Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11 is where we're going to read today. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. Who's hangry by time noontime comes after church? You're like running out of here to get to your food. Hangry starts coming in, you're hungry and you're angry and you don't have time to talk to people. And they're like, oh, hey. And you're like, yep. Culver's around the corner. This is 40 days and 40 nights. It's not just a morning. He was very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no. The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scripture also say, you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it to you, he said, if you kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil went away, and angels came and took care of Jesus. There's three temptations. They are focused on physical need, an emotional need, and a psychological or spiritual need. You kind of interchange those a little bit. Food, security, and desire. That was aligned with Jesus' purpose. That's what I think is cool. That third one, look at this kingdom, I will give it to you. And Jesus came to the earth to rule. But again, not in worldly. So we go back to Romans 12. Do not let the behaviors and the customs of this world dictate you. And it almost seems like an easy button, because Jesus knew he had 3 years of ministry and then a very difficult task of coming up onto this cross that we're going to celebrate here soon. He could have took the easy button, and he could have had Satan, which, by the way, Satan doesn't have the power to give that anyway, but he's playing with them, right? There's always strings that come attached, typically, to the easy button and bypassing those 3 years or whatever that time period is. Jesus could have changed the stones into bread. He had the power to do so, right? We're going to read about that later on if you continue through Jesus' story of the water to wine and a whole bunch of other miracles. He could have easily turned those stones to bread. But he didn't. He did not give in to temptation. Jesus could have tested to see if God would protect him and build up his security in his Father. He could have been tempted by that emotional need to be comforted in that moment and to know, God, are you truly there for me? But he didn't get into that temptation. He didn't test the Lord. Jesus could have hit that easy button to have his kingdom. But he wasn't tempted by that, because he knew that wasn't the way, that wasn't the process that he needed to go through to fulfill the prophecies and have that kingdom. He knew what his intended purpose was and was willing to take the time over the next 3 years. So what are these scriptures that Jesus go back to? They're in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8:3 is the first one that's quoted. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So we need to know the word, we need to know the scriptures, and we need to be fed by that more than we are of other desires, our physical needs. Then for the second one, he quotes 6:16 through 18. You must not test the Lord your God as you did when you complained at Massah. You must diligently obey the commands of the Lord your God, all the laws and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so all will go well with you. Then you will enter and occupy the good land that the Lord swore to give you your ancestors. And then the last one is 6:13-14, so we back up a little bit. You must fear the Lord your God and serve him. When you take an oath, you must use only his name. You must not worship any of the gods of neighboring nations, for the Lord your God who lives among you is a jealous God. His anger will flare up against you, and he will wipe you from the face of the earth. That's what Jesus is quoting when he is combating the devil. Isn't it cool, once again, that Jesus was sent to earth in full human form, full God form too, right, and the Holy Spirit. But when he was in fully human form, he literally went through exactly what we go through. We go through temptation. Now, the difference between us and Jesus is Jesus is perfect. So he handled the situation perfectly. He handled all the temptations perfectly. Are we going to handle the temptations perfectly? Sometimes we will. Sometimes we'll be sometimes in the middle. And sometimes we're going to fail miserably. But one more chance. And because we may not succeed, does that mean we don't try? No. Thank you for answering that. That's that way. No. Because we always have one more chance with God. And God knows our imperfections. He knows our flaws. He knows our failures. He knows the experiences that have ingrained in us things that are negative and have fostered in us behaviors that have been instilled through us through experiences or hearing something all our lives. And he knows that that's difficult to break. But God wants to break those chains. Because that experience was an experience, and maybe you had a survival technique at that moment, but you're out of it now. Let's grow. Let's mature. Here it comes. Spiritual enrichment and growth. Continuous improvement. Continuous maturity. It's a constant, you're in a constant state in this world of growing. Every stage of your life is an opportunity to grow closer to God. Every stage. What I want to leave with you is transformation is a process led by God, as we need our hearts and the way we think to truly transform. Led by God. Back to Romans 12:2. Led by God. If I lead wanting to transform and mature in my walk with God by me being the leader, how successful am I going to be? I'm probably going to zig when I should zag. Right? I'm probably going to go left when I should go right. However you want to put that. I'm probably going to tosh it up, really. I'm going to overthink it. I'm going to go down rabbit holes. I'm going to get lost somewhere along the path. I even did this with a sermon. I was in such distraught last night. It was all over the place. So I went through this whole change management thing and transformation and looking up all these business practices for change management. God woke me up at 12:30 last night and you said, keep it simple. You always overcomplicate stuff. Keep it simple. Just let me lead. Like, oh, it is your servant, isn't it? Just let God lead. That's how you'll get true transformation, where your heart will be changed, your thinking will then be modified, and your behavior will follow. When temptations come, go to God. Every time Jesus was tempted in that desert, he went back to Scripture. He went back to God. Depend on God to provide your needs. Go to God to confirm your worth and soothe your insecurities. Stay focused on the one true God and worship God through the temptation so you can gain strength and sustainment. So we're going to go out here. And we're going to depend on God to provide our needs. We're going to go to God to confirm your worth and soothe your insecurities. And we're going to stay focused on the one true God and worship God through the temptation. I love that I was given this morning. Worship God through the temptation so you can gain strength and sustainment. Amen.